Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Pop culture. And today, do we need do we need that speaker off? No.
Jordan, do you? I like the
like that's not going to show up on the show. No.
Nah. Whoa. Keep it on. I just
want
to hear
the whole thing to be like reverb the whole time.
Yeah, I feel like Jordan knows what he's doing.
Get this back into the microphone while we're talking. Okay. All right, start up. Here we go. Pop culture. Man, I've been looking forward to this one, son.
I love it.
It's Brandon Phoenix, a.k.a. I Also Hate Pitt. I am joining my homeboy, my little brother, my ace boon goon.
Jeremy Phoenix, don't act like you don't know the name.
But the name you know more than hours without question
is J.N. Fiend. No,
is Orenthal James Simpson. Orenthal James Simpson has reemerged. He's brought himself back to the spotlight. He's on Twitter. He's here as a heavy hitter. He's here to set the record straight.
I saw that and I was so excited. Say what you want about OJ. Say what you want about whatever things that may have transpired in the past.
May have.
Allegedly. No, go ahead. I know you say he got convicted of, what was the other suit?
He got convicted, he was found
liable.
He was found liable for their deaths. Also, he was convicted in an armed robbery.
Yeah, but the thing everybody thinks about, if the glove don't fit, you must declare.
All right, so what? Back to OJ, what he's doing.
We talk about OJ.
I know, but back to OJ's on Twitter, Jay.
Oh my goodness.
He's here to set the record straight.
I actually saw you tweet that first. And then I went and looked at what he put. And he had the audacity, the nerve to say, I have a lot of people to get back at.
No, he said, I've got a lot of getting even to do.
A lot of getting even to do. Look, well, OJ, hold up, real quick. If you haven't looked at the comments on Twitter, the comments are way better than the posts could ever be. When people start, like you say, that Twitter is where you go to argue with other people. Everybody chiming in about OJ, Brandon, priceless.
What gets me about OJ is how oblivious he is to reality. OJ thinks he has fans. OJ thinks he has fans. That's the thing. That's my favorite thing about OJ. Hello, people. Like,
I'm listening. I'm not a fan OJ, of OJ. Look, I'm not a fan of OJ. But I'm a fan of OJ coverage. I'm a fan of everything OJ says. Immediately when I saw he was on Twitter, I followed him and set my Twitter account to notify me every time he tweets. When he says, I have a lot of getting even to do, it's just like the dude said in his comments. You remember that time? Remember that time you committed two murders?
Yeah.
A lot of getting even to do. What does that mean? What does that mean? I don't know. But trust me, I'm going to be here to listen to everything and hear everything and retweet everything Orenthal ever posts.
Yeah, there's a parody account of O.J. Simpson out already, obviously. There's several. And the parody account decided to go to his DMs, and he was surprised to find a message from guess who, Jeremy?
Oh, hold up. He had a Darden?
O.J. Simpson. O.J. Simpson said, cease and desist immediately with this account.
Or I'll run up on you with a gun in Vegas. Take back my account.
So the guy said, this is a parody account. I don't know, you know, what you think, but this is a parody account, basically. I'm allowed to have this. Twitter says I'm allowed to have this. You need to read up on Twitter and get with the times. And OJ says, listen, basically, what did he say? You know what? I got to find it.
You got to find it. You got to look at it. But OJ, isn't this the exact thing that landed you in jail? Coming all strong about stuff that you felt like was yours.
And getting even.
And getting even. He says it so casually, too. I got a lot of getting even to do.
I can't believe I can't find it. I'm so mad. I should have saved it. Who did I send it to? Did I send it to mom?
I feel like I just said that in the Dave Chappelle voice. Like when he mimics OJ. I got a lot of getting even to do. The first time I met OJ. If you haven't seen Dave Chappelle stand up, his latest one on Netflix, it's so great. He talks about the four times he met OJ. All of them are priceless. And that's the thing. OJ is still in our consciousness. And right when we think he's done, right when we think that the shows and the documentaries are done, he blesses us again. With what? With a Twitter account. I cannot wait to hear what he has to say and to whom. Like somebody said under his tweets, who do you have to get even with and what are you going to do?
That's the biggest thing is what are you going to do? Because he said he's getting even. So what does that involve? So the man said, basically,
last time he got even. But anyway, continue on.
No, that's what he said. He said the last time he got even, you used a gun to commit an armed robbery against someone. And the first time you went to somebody's house with a knife and you murdered two people. And so the guy put the parody account put a thumbs up and a knife. And OJ just responded with a knife. Jeremy.
Brandon. You know what's so funny? This is the thing. Like tough guys, you talk to tough guys and they're always, like real tough guys don't act like they're tough guys. Fake tough guys are like, yo, you want a problem? Yo, I'm from Philly. They go on and on. Real tough guys don't act like that. That's how you know OJ's real. Listen to OJ talk. He's so nice.
That's how we know OJ's real?
No, man. There's a lot of reasons. But even if this hadn't happened, like OJ's so nice and so... This dude is crazy. Crazy. I know I'm preaching to the choir here. But
as much as OJ's crazy and as happy as I am, and yes, I did follow him before. People were like, "Who's? I'm glad to block OJ. I muted him. Good for you. Okay? I'm glad you did.
Oh, my goodness. No. Whoever muted OJ needs...
Meg the Savage.
Did she?
Yeah, muted.
No,
OJ.
You have
she
lost your mind.
She blocked him.
It is. Look, he is pure entertainment. I don't condone anything he does. I'm watching
and
looking
and
listening.
I mean, it sounds sometimes like maybe you do.
I'm listening for the entertainment.
I followed him and set an alert so that when he tweets, you know who else I set an alert for on Twitter? Do you know Jordan? Any guesses? The Cos. Bill Cosby's back, much to M to the ish grin. He would love to have seen.
He's on Twitter.
The Cos is on Twitter. And let me read you his first tweet.
Bill Cosby's on Twitter.
You want to hear his first tweet? Hey, hey, hey.
You're lying.
It's America's dad. I know it's late, but to all of the dads, it's an honor to be called a father. So let's make today a renewed oath to fulfilling our purpose, strengthening our families and communities. And then he had a video of him talking back in the 60s, possibly 70s, about uplifting the community and issues that are existing in America.
Did he just get on Twitter?
He just got on Twitter and he decided to start out with the fat Albert. Hey, 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 hey.
Who's into conspiracy theories?
Well, what do you mean?
If R. Kelly posts something within the next... I know he's been on Twitter.
R. Kelly.
I'm just saying.
R. Kelly can't read, Jeremy. Brandon. He can't read, so he can't be on Twitter.
Brandon, here's the thing.
You know that? You know R. Kelly can't read?
Bill Cosby and OJ come out within the same week? You think that's a coincidence, Jordan? They both come out
Look, Jeremy,
within the same week.
Jeremy.
I feel like they got together and was like, look.
Criminal minds think alike. That's all I can say.
They got together.
R. Kelly can't read, so there's no way he's on Twitter. The way I know R. Kelly can't read.
No, I'm sorry. I know you're going there. Brandon, do you know what you do if you saw a picture posted of OJ and Bill Cosby walking down the street like they're best friends?
It would be the greatest.
Like they're best friends. Like, yeah, we all Twitter together.
Well, it would be one of the greatest things that ever happened to me, first of all, in my entire life. That, and if I saw Stevie Wonder ever holds a press conference and admits he's not blind and says to the world, while I'm not blind, I am hard of seeing, then my life will have been made.
Or if there's a picture that comes out of Stevie Wonder at a shooting range. my life would be so complete.
But I mean, OJ.
I can hear the targets.
I'm just saying, OJ got on Twitter, immediately acted like he had fans, and then threatened somebody all within a week. Within a week, the man threatened somebody on Twitter. Like, people weren't going to find out. OJ is a moron.
Brandon,
he's
a classic
narcissist.
I know he doesn't have any money, but Brandon, seriously, we should provoke him.
No, he got money.
We should provoke him.
I already tried. Jeremy tweeted out something today about fantasy football. OJ's like, he's going to be talking about fantasy football. So he listed some of the players. He's like, is there anybody I forgot? Is there anybody I missed? And I quoted the tweet and said, the real killers. That's who you missed. You haven't been able to find them. You got everybody else listed. You didn't get them listed. Okay. How about
hide
that, OJ?
Hide your kids. Hide your wives.
So I'm trying my darndest to get on his list. So hopefully I'll get a DM soon. I'll know we made it. If I get a DM from OJ, we deserve blue check mark immediately.
That's right. And I will never come over here again to record.
Yeah. No, it's a great day. And then Pat McAfee was talking about this. He was talking about OJ being on Twitter. And yet he got banned because he took a video or he used a video from the U.S. Open. And the U.S. Open, like, blocked it, made him cease and desist, and had his account locked until he read the rules. He's like, here I am, getting locked out of my account, and O.J. Simpson is tweeting freely.
By the way, here's the thing about golf that's so funny. Like, golf is so bougie. You can't do this with golf. Can't do that with golf. And then here comes John Daly with a McDonald's cup in his riding cart. Come on now. How does John Daly...
Daly drinking Jim Beam and smoking heaters.
And he's the only one who gets away with it. He can be whoever he wants to be.
Jeremy, we all know those people. M. Tito was one of them. We all know those people where the rules just don't apply. And yes, there are plenty of people.
And people laugh. By the way, if it was anybody else, they'd be like, oh, what a shame to golf. When John Daly does it, they're like, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, now.
John Daly now, being Jeremy, John Daly.
Now, when John Daly started golf, the golf community did not love him. We're just used to it because he's been doing it now for almost 30 years. You know what I mean? Like, but John Daly is not embraced by the world. He's not. Also, anybody who's really good at something.
The golf world, the bougie golf world. Everybody else loves it.
Anybody who's really good at something usually gets away with stuff that other people can't get away with. And John Daly fits into that category. But this is not about John Daly. It's about the cause. It's about OJ.
No, it's about all things hilarious. Stuff is good.
All things hilarious.
That's what it is.
And I just couldn't be happier. And also, will Twitter give OJ the blue check mark?
Ooh.
That's the question. Bill Cosby has one.
I mean, the Buffalo Bills gave away his jersey. Who knows if he gets a check mark?
OJ. And OJ only follows like 8 people. He follows, he follows the Bills. He follows the Heisman Trophy.
Brandon, I saw that too. Brandon, what would you do if you looked at his followers and any of the people he was following was
Smith and Wesson,
Murder,
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Top Knife.
Some murder mystery podcasts.
Yeah. If I did it. Brandon, the book, If I Did It.
That is the absolute best.
There's nothing better.
If I did it. Who does he think he is? Who does he think we are?
I don't know, but he's winning.
Is he? I mean, the man lives in a fantasy world.
Yeah, that's right. And here's the thing. It's just like Shallow Hal. You ever seen Shallow Hal? He's like, he saw a bunch of women who were bigger, who weren't very cute. And he thought they were like dime pieces. And what he said was, if I look and to me they're dime pieces, why would you curse me to bring them back? Same thing with OJ. OJ lives in a dream world. He's crazy. He's living his life. He's probably thinking, yeah,
he's
successful.
He's living his best life.
Ain't got time for all of you people. Yeah, I feel like OJ is going to die and he's going to write a letter. No, he's going
to
write
OJ's
a book.
OJ's going to live to a ripe old age, I guarantee you.
And do you know what
he says? Only the good die young. OJ may never die.
And OJ is going to say at the end, I lived a great life. I'm going back to Chappelle voice. I lived a great life. It was awesome.
Nobody had a better life than me. I love you people. You're my people.
You sound like Shaq now. I can't tell if it's OJ.
Yeah,
mixed with Donald Trump style of talking. Nobody lived a better life than me. I lived the best life. It was impeccable. It was tremendous.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. That was good. That was good. Trump.
Yeah. All right. So that's it for me. I don't have anything else on pop culture. You, Jay?
Wrap it up. That's it. Pop culture. Pop culture. Boom.
Wrap it, boys.
Big shout to Shrinkables. Shrinkables, supporting the RVK partnership since day one. Want to give a big shout out to Astorg Auto, the leader in luxury automobiles and in service in the entire state of West Virginia. Jamie Spears, the man with the plan down there at Astorg Auto of Charleston. When you get there, tell them the Raspy Voice Kids sent you.
Astorg Auto of Charleston is West Virginia's premier automotive luxury dealer. We sell Land Rover, Jaguar, Mercedes-Benz, Volvo, and Audi brands. We also have a wide variety of pre-owned luxury cars at our store on Corridor G. Our service department also goes the extra mile and aims to exceed your expectations. We offer free pickup and delivery on service appointments to make your life easier. Come experience a new level of service. Astorg Auto of Charleston, a tradition of automotive excellence. Learn more at astorgauto.com.
Football time. We're going to talk about the West Virginia Mountaineers, talk a little recruiting. I want to talk specifically about WVU losing Sean Martin, the number one recruit in the state of West Virginia for the 2020 class. We lost out to North Carolina.
That's big, too, because we're talking about locking down the state, and this is our state. This kid goes to North Carolina. I mean, if you went to Alabama or LSU or other big-time programs, USC, that's one thing. Clemson. But to go to North Carolina over West Virginia, now I understand that it's a little closer than,
closer
Morgantown.
Than
Morgantown.
North Carolina's not.
At Bluefield, yes, it is.
North Carolina's not. Virginia Tech is. North Carolina's not.
Are you sure?
Positive.
He's right there in Bluefield, West Virginia. It's probably close, Brandon. It's a good 4 hours to Morgantown. It's probably 4 hours to Charlotte.
What about Chapel Hill?
Or Chapel Hill. It's probably close. My point is, and I know immediately people are going to think, what about locking down our borders? Did you think about that?
No.
At all? You didn't?
Nope.
Well, good.
And I'll tell you why, but you go ahead.
No, I was going to tell you why, too. I'll let you go first, and then I'll go on why we shouldn't freak out as Mountaineer fans when we talked about locking down our borders when Neil Brown and the new coaching staff got here, and, you know, the number one prospect goes somewhere else again.
How long has Neil Brown been the head coach at WVU?
Preach.
He's been the head coach since January. Sean Martin makes his decision now. It's June. So that's, what, 5 months that Neil Brown had to convince him? Whereas whoever's recruiting him at North Carolina, if North Carolina had already been pursuing him, he already fell in love with North Carolina, even though they got a new regime with Mac Brown and Lonnie Galloway.
And got paid from North Carolina, but go ahead.
But you missed the last part. Lonnie Galloway.
Man,
Lonnie Galloway strikes again.
Again.
Lonnie Galloway is an excellent recruiter. He recruited for us when he was a receiver coach for us. He recruited well for Louisville, took some players from us down there, and now he's doing it again at North Carolina. But the other thing is, I don't know if Sean Martin grew up wanting to be a Mountaineer. I don't know what the old staff did for the last 2 years as far as recruiting him. So somebody was like, you guys really trying to blame Dana for losing the kid now? Yes.
Yes.
Because if
especially, hold up. Especially if he's is he a senior?
Which I'm not going to blame Dana because I don't know enough. But what I'm saying is it's possible.
But if
you didn't put the work in when the kid was a sophomore, a junior.
These kids don't get recruited just when they're seniors.
No.
They identify the elite of the elite by the time they're sophomores, most of the time. Sometimes there's diamonds in the rough, and you can get on that train early to start recruiting them.
And
so
offering.
This was under Dana's reign where whatever happened, happened. I'm not saying it's his fault. I'm just saying it was under his watch, and this is not on Neil Brown.
Now, that said, going forward, what I've been told is that we are not going after some of the kids the way that they would like to be pursued. Isaiah Johnson being one of them.
Can I say one thing before we get into that?
Go ahead.
It's one of them things, like you said, building a wall. We're saying building a wall because obviously it's funny to say because we know Trump said that about, you know, whatever the border. We're not into politics. We're just saying the fact of we're using that because it's funny. Build a wall around West Virginia to keep all the kids in state.
Well, because President Gee keeps saying it.
But here's the thing.
So if you show up to a site to build a wall or to build anything, think about it. Whatever you're doing, anything, I don't care if it's even mowing the lawn. When you start a project, is it done immediately?
Never.
Never.
Rome was not built in a day.
It takes time. So like for me, I'll be honest, immediately my mind wasn't in that mindset. But I realize now it takes time. Like just thinking about it for two seconds, you know, give it like a real time like process. Neil Brown is here. We see what he's doing in recruiting. He's making moves. But to build that wall, to solidify everybody in West Virginia, is going to take time. So you can't expect somebody in the first 2 years to lock down everything. I do expect anybody coming out in, you know, 3 years, 2 to 3 years, to have West Virginia in their top three. But right now, it's almost too late. Not too little too late, but it's one of the things which just it's a lot different than somebody like Dane if he had been here for many years, which he had, and expected him to get the in-state recruit.
Exactly. You didn't have a process. You didn't have a plan. You couldn't have. And what you did to go after those kids, maybe they appreciated it, but their heart had already been set.
You're building. It has not been built.
But I will tell you, I wish the best for that kid, but I do not wish success for North Carolina. That's how I always feel, personally.
You not? You don't like North Carolina?
I don't like that they held us out of the ACC back when the talks were going on. Tobacco Road was part of that. North Carolina was a big part of it. I don't like that they got away with the cheating scandal that they did, academic fraud scandal that they got away with so publicly, so flagrantly, and still wanted to act pious and righteous about how academically superior they are to WVU. I also don't want North Carolina being bad. I don't really care
about North Carolina. I really don't.
When we lose a kid that we think we have a shot at, that's the other thing. That's a good point. Skylar Callahan brought this out. 24/7 had Sean Martin 100% locked to West Virginia. And one of the things he said is something I always say. How do they calculate that? How do they calculate who's going where? How do they decide which kid's going where, doing what? Obviously, the system's flawed when they do it. It can't be that accurate. It doesn't even make any sense, to be honest.
There's too many politics, and I'm sorry, too much money going in. You don't know what's going on. Not every kid gets paid, but the elite of the elites, there's some that do. And when stuff like this happens, it makes you think, makes you say,
And again, like we did talk about the regime change. Mac Brown had an entire month more than Neil Brown to recruit this kid.
I will also say, I'm going to just be for real. Like, we talk about money and high school recruits and, you know, blah, 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 and it shouldn't be. But do you think money would affect your decision of where you wanted to go?
It would depend on my family life.
Right now, like the way you were raised,
no, money would not have affected me. I don't believe. Now, if I grew up,
which is so funny because I was raised in the exact same household. And I'm telling you, it could have affected me. One school is giving you nothing. Another school is saying, hey, your freshman, sophomore, junior year, you're going to drive around in, I don't know, a Charger. not a Charger, but like, you know, a big time car. Going to put money in your pocket. Like, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, people look at it, oh, this is so terrible. This is so horrible. And I agree, like, it shouldn't be here. But if put yourself in that situation, everybody listening, put yourself as an 18-year-old kid. Somebody has a bag full of money. You don't have any money in your pocket. Maybe your parents do, but you don't have money in your pocket. I feel like it's going to affect my decision, especially if they're telling me, "Oh, this is the ways you're going to get away with it."
I agree, but everybody's different. Like, it didn't affect Pat White. Pat White flat out said Alabama offered him a Corvette, and he said no.
But is that because he wanted to play quarterback?
It doesn't matter.
It does make a difference.
No,
because,
but that's what I'm saying.
Because when he went to the NFL,
all I'm saying is what you're saying is that the money makes a difference, but there are multiple factors that make a difference.
That's true. But I also want to say he also, when he went to NFL, pretty much they offered him a Corvette to play receiver. They didn't, but I'm saying more money to play receiver, and he wanted to play quarterback. But I'm agreeing with you.
What you just said is
I'm just reiterating your point.
Yeah, some people, I mean, it will affect some people, and other people it won't. The thing I don't like is anybody who's bashing Sean Martin for doing what's best for Sean Martin.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm all
for
that.
Do what's best for you. Do what's best for your family. The kid did not take this decision lightly. He was serious about it, and he made his choice.
And you don't know. And you don't know all the factors that go into it. You don't know what the coaches said. You don't know what the intricacies of what's going on
is. Or if he just wanted to get out of the state and go somewhere else new for once.
Maybe he had a girlfriend who just broke up with him and he couldn't handle it and his heart was heavy and he wanted to get away. Or maybe his girlfriend that he loved went to North Carolina. We don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot that you just don't know. And bashing a kid for his decision makes no sense. Bashing the staff when you have no idea what happened, what was said, or how it was done. But what I was saying before is there are reports right now, people that I've spoken to, sources I have. Yes, I know, quote-unquote sources. But they are. They're legit. That say that Isaiah Johnson, another kid from Bluefield, is not being recruited the same way by West Virginia as Clemson is, as South Carolina is, as some of the other schools are.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully that will change. Hopefully there's a strategy. I know Jamal Adai is the guy assigned to him. So I'm sure he has a strategy. I'm sure he has a plan. And I hope he lands that dude because he's an absolute stud and it would be fantastic to get him in the 2021 class.
No doubt.
So we'll have to wait and see what happens. We'll have to wait and see who does what. But in the meantime, respect kids' decisions. Show them love, even if you don't root for their team.
Hey, real quick, before we end this, I know you're going to probably roll your eyes because I kept going. So with the dude from PHS that went to Penn State.
Brenton Strange, who's now a monster. He gained like 30 pounds of muscle.
Are you going to be rooting for Penn State? You're going to root for him when he's up there?
I'm rooting for him. I'll never root for Penn State, but I'm rooting for him.
Okay, it's funny you say you'll never root for Penn State.
Yeah, I want him. If I know.
If
Javonte Haskins doesn't, I want him to start for Penn State. I want him to break every Penn State record there is. I want him to be drafted in the first round in the NFL. But I want Penn State to stink because I hate Penn State.
Let me just say this, and I know
the only team I want Penn State beaten is Ohio State and Pitt.
I know. See, that's where we're different. And I know a lot of old school Mountaineer fans will hate me. And look, get at me, JN Fiend on Twitter, and let me know where I'm wrong. But I need to know. I mean, I do know. I do know why you hate Penn State.
Yes.
And it's funny because I don't usually, like, you know, separate ourselves by saying you. But the truth is, I don't hate Penn State. I've never in my life hated Penn State.
All right.
So when you say you don't want them to win anything, I honestly
I hate Penn State because of their fans, how they acted after Joe Paterno. I hate Penn State because they're in the Big Ten especially, but they're also in the Big Ten East. I hate Penn State because of all those years they whipped us and we finally beat them and then they didn't come to the Big East Conference like they could have or they should have. And I know that wasn't all their choice, but that's the way it worked
out. What's so weird to me is right now it's hitting me that I don't care. Like, honestly, I don't mind Penn State. If they win the Big Ten, that doesn't bother me at all. Hey, win the Big Ten.
The other thing is they're big recruiting adversaries. That's another reason.
Recruiting adversaries is
huge
big.
Huge recruiting adversaries.
But here's the other thing.
They recruit the same area
it's
of Western
so funny
Pennsylvania we do.
It's so weird
New
to
Jersey.
Me, Brandon, it's so weird to me that I don't care about Penn State hating them like old school Mountaineers do.
Yeah, and you didn't have to endure the butt whippings.
And there are some young kids that don't hate Virginia Tech the way I do.
No, Jeremy, there are.
Isn't it
we
funny?
At least played Virginia Tech in long.
But hold up, isn't it funny? Like,
no,
before last year, there were kids who, and it's like, I don't know, my brain's making the connection where I don't really hate Penn State. There's a lot of Mountaineer fans who do, but I hate Virginia Tech. And there's young kids who love West Virginia, Brandon, who don't hate Virginia Tech. Maybe they do now because we actually played them, but I don't know. I'm just making these connections.
No,
it's
weird. I think people hate Tennessee and Texas more than they hate Virginia Tech and Penn State.
Yeah.
But that's where I am with it. That's how I feel about it. That's how I see it.
No, that's where I am. You know, I didn't
and
mean
like
to get
I said,
deep,
best wishes to Sean Martin.
Absolutely.
Big ups to him. Power 5 conference. That's a big-time scholarship.
Yep.
And their unis are dope.
And let's keep producing in the state of West Virginia. That's my biggest thing. Right now, we have a lot of talent coming out of the state of West Virginia. It seems like it's on the rise. Hopefully, it continues on and on. 304 all day.
Rapid voice!
We love our man, Jim Ashley, the quintessential businessman and international world traveler, Jim Ashley. We thank you for being a sponsor and partner with the show. We love having you on. Can't wait till you're here again. The Raspberry Voice Kids are brought to you in part by The Pizza Place in Morgantown. They have the official pepperoni roll of the Raspy Voice Kids. They are located at 3011 North Point Plaza in Morgantown, West Virginia. If you are in town near the Mile Ground, you got to get to the pizza place. It is the greatest pizza you will ever taste. I don't care what anybody says. Shout out to our boys, Mike and Luca.
I'm joking. Here we go. Mountaineer Would You Rather with the Raspy Voice Kids.
Let's say this. The return of Mountaineer Would You Rather. It's been a minute since we did it. Let's get in it.
What would you rather? I only have one for you. So all Mountaineer Nation, listen up. I have a real question for you guys. Now, here's the thing. We have big-time coaches at WVU.
Okay.
What would you rather right now, today, would you rather Neil Brown stay at West Virginia and Bob Huggins and the baseball coach,
Mazie,
Randy Mazie, somehow, for some reason, have to leave? Or would you rather Bob Huggins and Randy Mazie both stay and Neil Brown take off right now?
So you're asking me?
Yeah, both.
Say that again. Who's staying the first time?
Neil Brown staying, Mazie and Huggins are leaving. Or would you rather Mazie and Huggins and Neil Brown leaving? Now, let me set this up. Here's the thing that's so important, because Neil Brown is young. So Bob Huggins is almost at the end of the line. We don't know how many years he has left. Mazie's a great coach. But I feel like the combination of them two versus something that is, West Virginia is a football school, period. And what it looks like is, it looks like Neil Brown's doing an amazing job. So here's the question, Brandon. You get either Neil Brown or you get Bob Huggins or Randy Mazie. What would you rather?
So essentially you're saying, do I get two sports with stability or one? One sport's more important than the other.
But are the two sports with stability? Because how long is Huggins really going to be there? But go ahead. That's why I took them both.
I'm taking Neil Brown because we got a good run out of Huggy. We got a Final Four out of Huggy. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame. His name should be on the court. I can't believe it's not already. And we don't know how much longer he'll be here. Not that he's given any signs that he's leaving. Mazie built the baseball team up from where it was down. But we've shown that we can spend the money, and Shane Lyons has shown that he can go out and get the right guy. Bobby Huggins is the third highest paid coach in the Big 12. He used to be second until, at Texas Tech just got his beard. Chris Beard just got his new deal. Bobby Huggins is the ninth highest paid college basketball coach, period. So if we're spending that kind of money, we should be able to get quality.
True.
Neil Brown, on the other hand, is not being paid anywhere near the top 10. And it would set us back, I believe, an entire decade if we had to switch coaches right now. So I think basketball is easier to come up from. You only need one player, really, to make a huge difference to turn everything around. That's not how you build a program, but you can win games with just one player. I think it's easier to build with basketball. So we lose Mazie and Huggins, but we keep Brown.
It's so tough. I feel like when I came up with this question, I don't even know if I have an answer. It's really tough for me because football is the mainstay of college sports. Say what you want. We're here at WVU. We love football. The truth is, it looks like Neil Brown's doing everything that's perfect. It looks like he's going to be a great fit here. But he's never proven anything. Here at West Virginia, he hasn't done a thing on the field. Huggins and Randy Mazie have proved their worth. Yeah, Huggins has went to Final Fours. Mazie has had hosted regionals. They are building something big. Like, for me, if you give me like one or the other, Neil Brown or Coach Huggins, okay, Coach Huggins is at the end of his career. But given the two against the one, I'm still taking Neil Brown. that's the truth. Because I feel like I really have faith in what he's doing. I think Huggins is an incredible coach, but he's closer to the very end of his career. Randy Mazie, man, that dude could coach baseball, but baseball is not as big of a sport. Now, this year, man, I loved seeing the stadium packed for the regional, and there was a lot of excitement behind the baseball program, and we were doing things that we haven't done in so long. But it's not football.
It's not football. It never will be.
It's not football. So it's one of the things where I take, like, I believe in what Neil Brown's doing so much. I take Neil Brown. But for me, the truth is that question for me was hard. Good question, JF.
No, yeah, it was. It was a good question. I didn't see it coming. You did throw the wrench because you went the 2-for-1.
2-for-1.
But that's where I go. I don't know what everybody else would say. What do you guys say? That's what we want to know.
We want to know. Megan, get up on here. Let us know.
2-for-1. Let us know what your thoughts and opinions are and why.
Rat me voice!
We want to give a big, loud shout and proud applause to sports fans. Mr. Chad Rogers doing big things down there in Taze Valley. If you get a chance, go check him out. He's got your gear, he's got your autographs, and he's got the events. Chad Rogers and sports fans of West Virginia. This is Brandon Phoenix, a.k.a. I Also Hate Pitt. You're joining the Raspy Voice Kids for another Golden Blue interview. We are joined once again by Keenan Cummings. Keenan, thank you for joining us today.
Always a pleasure. Always enjoy coming on. Thanks for having me.
Well, we like having you on because you know your stuff, and right now the stuff to know is what's going on as far as recruiting. Why don't we start with basketball? What's Huggy got cooking over there on the hard court?
Well, this thing has taken a while to come together, but I think we're finally getting some clarity, at least to the point where you have an idea of what's going to happen. You know, West Virginia has 11 scholarships right now, so they got two left to fill. They got some options there. I think the two guys that you kind of would circle right now would be the big French forward that visited a couple just got finished with a visit, actually, just wrapped it up. Ballou, I think is how you say his name. He right now his list has changed a lot in a short period of time. He's taken five official visits in almost basically 9 or 10 days. So do the math there. He squeezed a lot of visits in a short period of time. He's been to Wake Forest, Tennessee, Nevada, West Virginia, and is closing up a visit to Wichita State. He plans to decide here pretty soon. After he gets done with his visit to Wichita State, he wants to make a decision. So that's one to watch. He's down to the four. Tennessee is falling out of the mix. So the other four are kind of who he's picking from. A different skill set than what West Virginia currently has on the roster. He's more of a, I guess for lack of a better term, a point forward, a skilled forward. He's a guy that you can stretch out, can shoot the ball, can dribble it, and he can get a rebound and take it up the court if you need be. So a really kind of impressive add if West Virginia is able to kind of add him this late. The other guy is another very intriguing prospect, Devin Cambridge. He's originally from Tennessee, moved out to Arizona to do prep school. Really, he's kind of blown up. You know, he's got 16, 17 offers. He took an official visit to West Virginia a few weeks ago. The thing here, though, that is interesting is he wants to wait until Peach Jam, which will be mid-July, because if he's going to go anywhere, if he wants to sign, because he wants to be able to play AAU ball, and once he signs, he won't be able to do that. So you're going to have to wait a little bit longer for his decision. But as long as he doesn't take any more trips, I think West Virginia's in a good spot there. You add those two guys to the 11 you have with what's returning and what you've been able to add to recruiting, and I'm not going to say it's fixed. You know, it's cliche, but it's definitely a step in the right direction with some athletic guys and some guys that really fit what Huggins and the coaching staff wants to do with that press style.
It definitely seems like there's a difference in the attitude of the recruits that we're getting. You mentioned Wichita State. They just had a scholarship open up. Because of some of the house cleaning Huggins has done over the last couple of years. Hopefully that translates into wins because that's all that really matters at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I think that it can't be stated enough that the guys that they are adding, you know, what they did early in the late period was very impressive. They landed their top two guys. You know, they already had their top guy, obviously, in Oscar Tshiebwe, but they landed their top two guys that they set out and looked at, you know, in Sean McNeil and Taz Sherman. You get those two guys in the fold, and you add some guys that have some skill. I mean, for a guy like Ethan Richardson that is signed here in the late period, you know, that's a really good find for a guy that's going to probably come off the bench and provide some minutes for you. You know, you're not going to have to depend on him to come in and start, but as a third, fourth big, that's a quality addition. Then you add a guy like Ballou to that as well, and possibly even Cambridge, which I think they have to get a wing. If they don't land Cambridge, they've got to find somebody that can help out there because they've got Haley, Matthews, and then a big hole. So they need that has to be addressed. Cambridge is probably the guy I would zero in on. But if not him, they've got to try to find somebody there.
Now, as far as Ethan's concerned, did we have to offer his Afro a scholarship too? Or is that separate?
That is nice, isn't it?
It's amazing.
They've got some nice hair going on with some of these prospects they're after. I think that that thing is picture perfect. I wish I had that.
I do too. But it's not happening. So we talked a little bit about the basketball team, and you talked about how they were going after the French player. International recruiting seems to be the theme of the day for the last few days because West Virginia football has done the same thing. Can you tell us anything about that?
Yeah, it's weird, man. It's coming out of nowhere. I was just getting done telling a buddy earlier. So West Virginia is going everywhere for recruits. You know, they had a Canadian guy visit over the weekend. They got a commitment from a cornerback that's originally from Amsterdam that played in England, Feveris. He's a really good player. You know, I watched him in camp. He was a guy that stood out. You know, there's some of these some of these guys that come overseas, this isn't necessarily a new concept. It would happen under Dana. There would be these trips with these bus tours and type of things that would come. But usually these guys look the part, and then when they start playing, you can tell, hey, these guys are really raw. They're going to need development. That is not the case here. And this kid is a football player. He was one of the best players in camp, consistently performed well. He's really well put together. I mean, if you've seen a picture of him, he's a guy that gets your attention just by his physical attributes. But then he also covered well. You know, those one-on-ones are geared more towards the offensive player. And he was in position for the most part, had a few circus catches against him. But for the most part, I mean, he was very impressive. I think that he's a guy that Western Union kind of stole in a sense. And he picked up quite a few offers, and all in June once he got out to some of these camps. So that's a steal. And I also think his buddy who's on the same tour, a Swedish tight end, Victor Wickstrom, another very, very impressive player. I was sort of blown away with how refined he was. Really runs well. I think that's another guy to keep an eye out for West Virginia, possibly crossing the pond again to add some players.
Now, you're right. We got that pipeline. It's transatlantic right now, and that's a wonderful thing to get the number one guy out of England. At the very least, it gives the commentator something to talk about every Saturday, because you know they're going to run it into the ground once he starts to play. But the question that I had that we talked about this earlier on this podcast, maybe you can shed some light. A lot of people seem to think Sean Martin from Bluefield was a lock to WVU, and then he committed to North Carolina. Do we have any insight on why or how he made that decision?
I really just think North Carolina won the battle. It's really as simple as that. You know, West Virginia recruited him hard. You know, from the time Neil Brown took over, they made him a priority. You know, obviously you're starting late, a little bit late there, but, you know, look at the same thing. North Carolina is a lot of the same because they have a new coaching staff.
Yeah.
So it's a situation where, you know, West Virginia took their best shot. He's visited 3 or 4 times since Neil Brown took over, and that was in January. He was a priority type player, and really sometimes you win some, you lose some. I know he's at State, but I would probably say Chapel Hill's closer to where he's located and Morgantown is. So it's one of those situations where you win some, you lose some. Yeah, that's recruiting in general. But from what I've heard, he just liked North Carolina better.
Jeremy and I argued about that, whether or not Chapel Hill was closer than Morgantown. I knew Blacksburg was, but I wasn't sure about Chapel Hill. But you guys, sounds like 2-1, so I'm going to say you guys are right before I can Google it.
I have not map-quested it, but I would assume it probably is. But that's quite a drive. I've made that drive to Bluefield a few times from Morgantown. That's quite a drive.
Well, it's we wish nothing but the best for Sean. A lot of people, you know, saying negative things. We wish nothing but the best for kids in-state who get an opportunity to play Power 5 football, especially, but more importantly, to get a free education. And hopefully he'll maximize his potential and be the best man he can be. Keenan, we thank you for – go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think it's great for the state, just any of these situations. You know, obviously you're not always going to get them all if you're West Virginia, but just the attention. You know, as a guy that's been covering recruiting here in-state for – you know, 10, 12 years now, it's crazy to me how things have blown up. You know, how many kids are getting looks now? How many kids are getting offers? And really a lot of it is, you know, coaches are coming here now. These kids could always play. They've just been raw. I mean, go back and look at some of these guys over the years, some of these walk-ons that have developed into really, really good college football players. It just takes them a couple of years.
We talk about that a lot. We had Eric Richards on. From Football University and the All-American game. He was on about a month ago, and he said the same thing. A lot of it has to do with the access. Now there's more access because of the camps and things that these kids are going to. The camps, the openings, all that kind of stuff. So it's nice to see these kids getting the recognition they work so hard for and that they deserve. I do want to ask one question. Do you know how much of a priority Sean Martin was for Dana and his crew?
Yeah, they were the first school to offer him. I mean, they did recruit him hard. I think that they made him a priority as well. I mean, it's just, you know, you're going to win some, you're going to lose some. You know, we look back at West Virginia over the years. Now, some of these guys, they really weren't in the best position for it. You know, I don't think they were ever going to land Riley Locklear or Billy Ross. But some of these guys, you know, like Dante Stills or, you know, Dylan Tonker, you know, some of these guys that ain't landed, they've got some guys in this class that they have a possibility to land. So it's really just one of those situations. This happens everywhere. That's what I think is always so interesting about this topic. It's always a hot topic. Everyone's always going to talk about in-state recruiting. This happens everywhere. Ohio State loses kids they want in state. I know it doesn't seem like that, but they do. It's just magnified here because there's so few of them, relatively speaking, compared to some of these other states.
I did some research
I think it was a year ago. West Virginia, in its entire history and rivals, has produced less four stars, significantly less four stars, than Florida produced last year. So it's kind of crazy when you think of it that way. But the talent level is improving. They're getting more eyes. And every time there's a player like Darnell Wright or Dante Stills, it gets eyeballs on other guys, and it gets other guys recruited. So that's kind of how things get started in some of these states.
No, you're exactly right. The trouble, one of the hard parts about recruiting West Virginia that I don't think fans are willing to acknowledge the way they should, is that we are one of the fastest shrinking states in the union. So when that happens, you're going to have less kids. When you have less kids, you're going to have less prospects. And I think that's why it becomes such a big deal that we miss out, because Ohio State, Eric Richards, one of the things he mentioned was that Ohio State has trouble. Well, we talked about the fact that Ohio State has trouble keeping offensive linemen, in-state offensive linemen, in-state. So you're right. It happens everywhere, even to blue bloods. But Ohio State can go to California and get a kid, whereas West Virginia typically has a little more trouble doing that kind of thing. So I think it's a little bit of a chip on our shoulder and an inferiority complex that's frustrating for us when somebody from our state says, nah, I'd rather go somewhere else. But it's their choice, and people need to respect it.
Oh, absolutely. And I did MapQuest it. Chapel Hill is closer to Bluefield.
Man, I hate being wrong, Keenan. I hate it.
It's not by much. It's not by much. But it is
Keenan, thank you for joining us. I know you're super busy. Thank you so much for giving us some of your time. Tell the people where they can find you.
You can find my work if you're interested in reading it at wvsports.com. And my Twitter is @RivalsKeenan.
So check him out. Keenan's always got the goods, and he's always so gracious. Thank you.
Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.